From Sky Sports Radio, it's time for Punters Postmortem, a complete wrap of the weekend's racing and the chance to have your say. Let's get into it.
Morning, everyone. It's 11 past nine with Sean Cosgrove coming off the bench for TK this morning, joined by Ron Darcy. How are you, Duff?
G'day, Cosy. Big day at Saturday with $1 million up for grabs there, and it was Trapeze Artist. What a win it was. It was just so soft in the finish there. It's the blinkers went back on, and he was simply dominated that race.
He was. Dean Lester's with us. Morning, Dano.
Hello, Sean.
And Glenn Munsey, how are you, Muns?
I'm great, Sean. I swung round the little commentary box there on Saturday like a Trapeze Artist when he dashed away. The most amazing thing about the win was the fact he was $101 to $41 in the last 15 minutes of betting on the race.
It was interesting, Duff, because he'd Gerald Einder pulled the blinkers off him and then whacked them back on. Obviously, he realised that he's better with them.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Like, he obviously had them on the Black Opal when he won, and I think they come off for the slipper, didn't they? I'm pretty sure that, well, they may have anyway. But anyway, they were off prior to Saturday, and boy, it certainly had an effect with him there. It was he was always hard on the bit there. He for one stage he found Minari's back there, but he didn't want it. He was travelling so boldly, he just pulled his way. In fact, he may have even galloped on him a little bit there, coming to the turn there on his stable mates on the back of him there. So I think he's okay, Minari, but and then he was just in complete control of that race. It was in a high pressure race to do what he did riding the speed there. It was just a freakish performance.
It was an interesting day. Dino, Champagne Cuddles was out the back and couldn't have hit him with a slingshot coming to the corner.
Yeah, well, it was no place for the faint-hearted. That was an unbelievable speed they set up, Duff. I think going the times I get off daily sectional times, I think the leaders went about 15 lengths above average the first 600 metres. That's 2.5 seconds.
That's incredible, yeah. And the track wasn't playing fast. No. But once those stable mates
amazing.
Well, everyone thought they would lead, but not wouldn't to that lead extent. At the speed at which they did. And they absolutely terrorised each other.
Yeah.
Well, I just don't think he can hold the mission. I think that's the worry with him.
No.
And the fact that they revved up Parash last start, he just jumped out and thought he had to go again.
Parash went very well considering the circumstances.
He did. Well, he went well when he was ridden for speed his last start as well.
Yeah, so you know, if he could just harness that bit of speed there's something for him if he isn't flattened by that performance.
What did you make of Pariah?
I thought he was one of the disappointments of the race. Him and Merchant Navy were the two you'd have to say were disappointing.
He nearly fell early, Merchant Navy, though.
He was pretty bad. He did get knocked down, yeah, but still didn't gather himself up there. Gold Standard maybe wants a little bit further and assimilate. Not much went right for him getting into the run there, but it was a one-act affair, wasn't it? It was just a total domination by this Trapeze Artist.
I think he's going to go back to the... is he going back to the Coolmore now? And that would probably be the right thing, because if he didn't have that speed on, he would have over-raced Trapeze Artist that day.
I'd say both those stable mates, Will Minari and Trapeze Artist, they'd be eyeing off that Coolmore, which a lot of these nice three-year-old colts do in the spring.
Do we see any changes, anything from that race? Trapeze Artist, someone thought, could have gone to the Epsom, but not going to?
No, that won't happen. Yeah. It's very hard for a three-year-old this time of year to run in an Epsom. And Champagne Cuddles will go on to the Flight Stakes next week, so she'll have to be tough, 3 weeks running. Mm. I don't know what the plan is with Gold Standard, whether they want to run him in a Champion Stakes or something like that.
And he's shaping like that, isn't he? Yeah. Or at least further.
Yeah, that's right. So he'd go further rather than freshen back
freshen,
up.
Yep.
Where to for Minari?
I'd say freshen and down the straight as well. Maybe one more run into the, or maybe even first up into the Coolmore. Gerald seems to think he'll eat up the straight there at Flemington. So I'd say that'd be a plan with a high-profile colt like him.
Now, got to mention the third, the Highway. This horse don't give a damn. Bonhoeffer threw two. Another one blew the Japanese horse out of the water in Melbourne. But he threw Don't Give a Damn. He was pretty impressive in that Highway.
Yeah, was he? What?
They went hard.
Yeah, they went out hard as well. But he rides a high speed. In fact, that was a Bonhoeffer Quinella there for you there, Cosy. I think the second horse was by Bonhoeffer as well, delivered.
But
Don't Give a Damn Danny was very bullish about him coming into the race. He's still at his first preparation. He's his third start at 1,500. And he won with a leg in the air. I don't think the opposition was that hot, but you can only do what he did, and it was pretty impressive. I think their ideal situation would be try and get into that anniversary highway on Everest Day on the 14th of October, but considering it's a benchmark 80 race, he may just struggle to get in there. So Danny says, I'll wait... wait a couple of days, see what, obviously, probably what his handicap is after that race, and if he doesn't get in it, he'll spill, and he'll be a better horse next preparation.
He just looked as though he still had a bit up his sleeve there on Saturday.
Yeah, look, he's a bold strider. Like I say, he's got good gait speed, he gets into a good rhythm, and he can quicken off it.
Yeah, he can ping, can't he? Because yeah. That was his test on Saturday, that he'd gone as hard as he had when we watched the race together, and I said, well, if he's as good as what we think here, he's going to put a margin on these, and he did.
All right, now the Shannon, Washington Heights, another one who came from behind.
I thought this was a brilliant win.
He's flying.
Yeah, absolutely flying. And he sat out the back there with a couple of other chances in the race, like his two dangers were looked to be Dawn Wall and Euro Angel, and they were back with him, and they couldn't make an inch of ground, and he just peeled to the outside, and he went past them like they were nailed to the ground. He little query on him at 1,500 coming into that race. But there was no query coming out of it. The way he put him away there within three or four strides, that race was all over. Almighty Lucky was fantastic second up. Imposing Lass is just going through the motions at the moment. Just needs probably a mile mares race or something like that. And I thought the other two favourites were pretty disappointing. Dawn War was a little flat, and Euro Angel, well, she just got no race sense and
she won't settle.
She is hard work. I think she's going to try a different tack with her and take her to Melbourne.
But you look back at her last campaign, she wasn't settling and over racing, running fourth on the fence.
No.
And then she's getting back the last and won't settle.
She charged in the mile last year, took off mid race.
She might be a head case.
Yep.
Washington Heights, where to?
I would say there's a few options for a horse like him. I heard Gerald on Sunday morning radio with Ray, and he said, oh, well, there's a lot of options. He's Magic Millions, so that Magic Millions race for him, the set weights, it's certainly attractive for a horse like him. He could develop into a Doncaster horse in the autumn. Who knows, the way he's going. And there's also the option, well, he won't run next week. That's official. Gerald said he won't run in the Epsom, so I'd say a little freshen up. And I think they even said a couple of the owners are coming to Melbourne for the spring, and there's a race for him on Melbourne Cup Day as well, if they could get him up and going for that. So lots of options for a sprinter miler horse like him.
Now, the Gloaming, Ace High the other day, I told my son to back him. He ran fifth, and I said, just back up next time, you'll get it back. And he was impressive in the Gloaming.
Yeah, he seemed to dominate that race from the front. Great tactic change from the connections there. Ty rode him aggressive. He got a little rest there. A few horses took off mid-race. But he's one of these tough three-year-olds, David Payne three-year-olds. They're taught to win a champion stakes and a derby. He's going to be one of these horses that slips under the radar. He's going to be 8 or 10 to 1 every time. He'll put himself there out of trouble and just stick on. He just outstayed Sanction there. Sanction come off his back, and you would have thought he was going to out-sprint him, but he was just too tough, Ace High. I quite like that filly, Coral Coast. I think she's still raw, but she's not a bad type, and with experience, she could improve. And Sully's a stayer. He probably wasn't his style of race. He'll be better when he gets to the 2,000 plus. So, although it's a hard race to read because nothing really made up any ground and the way the race was run, I still think the jury's out as far as the rest of these horses. I wouldn't be sacking them, the staying types.
Now, 13:53:53, you can call now. We'll take your calls after 9:30. 13:53:53, Duff, Munsey, and Dino. Dino, what did you make of those?
Yeah, look, the early season three-year-olds, and they're getting the miles in their legs towards a race like the Spring Champion or the Derby. The first two obviously had a margin, but I really like the way Coral Coast is going. I've been following her, obviously, as a Melbourne horse, but she's going to have a good grounding towards something like the Oaks if she can press on.
He can find a horse, Dewey Webb, can't he?
Yeah.
He doesn't try many. He's got a really good owner there that owned Yosai, and they've had a lot of success, and he's got another one here.
He's got a couple of high-profile people in Coral Coast as well, I noticed, too. James Bester.
Yes, he's in a few of them, yeah.
Yeah.
And another good lead-off, and David Payne. I remember interviewing him a couple of years ago, and he was pleading, thinking we should have longer races for two-year-olds at the end of the season. And you always know he's got one lurking around there that's going to be a handy three-year-old over a bit of ground, don't you?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. That's his strength.
He targets them, yeah.
Yeah, you know, once we get these early three-year-olds past a mile, David's name always is up there. We're looking for his horses then.
Now, the Golden Pendant and Ronnie Quinton. Great to see Ron Quinellerit.
Yeah, with two terrific mares, too, Daisy Doom. Late in the day, it was sort of off the rail and up on speed. The track they'd well watered this track on Saturday, and late in the day it dried out a bit, and it was very hard to make up ground with, you know, Trapeze Artist riding the hot speed, and Daisy Doom three deep, no cover, Ace High leading all the way, and then it's a plush in the last. So Daisy just sat there three deep, no cover, just ambled. Quicken, she helps herself by relaxing within herself, and you know, she I don't think she's ever finished further back the fourth in a whole career. Dixie Blossoms, that'll top her off now. She's just starting to come out in the coat. I thought Omei Sword had every possible and was disappointing, and I thought a little sneaky run there was Zenalicious.
Yeah.
She's looked way above herself and hasn't been fancied in two runs back. 100-1 again there on Saturday, but no, she'll run well next time.
She's put a couple of really, really good runs at Rose Hill.
Yeah, so she's got to go to the Yanks probably now, so that'll that's interesting.
She was out the back and she did cover ground, didn't she?
Yeah, she was good. She was very good, and like I said, she's the one with more improvement than most there condition-wise, although she's a filly that's hard to read or a mare because she does carry a little bit of weight in the middle there.
Now, we've got to give our mate a mention, Richard Freeman, strike rate. Oh, he's fly, isn't he?
He's fly.
No, Will, you've got to give a mention to Richard's been sitting in a studio all day. What about the lean he got on, too? You know, the lean when they got near the finish. He went the Melbourne lean or the Sydney lean. I don't know whether he got his lean right.
You always go to the right, don't you?
Yeah. Well, you've got to give it to him, though. Well, we like to have a bit of fun with Richard, but his strike rate is amazing.
It's phenomenal.
Know? Yeah, it's... And to turn an old horse around like this, he's had a couple of decent trainers, to get him thinking straight and winning a few races. Yeah, good luck to him. He's doing a great job, and it's up there. The record's on the board.
They're right. They were talking about Albrae there. Now, just quickly looking at Rose Hill, wrapping up there. Duff, what was your take on the day? The one to follow, perhaps the best run?
Oh, look, probably arguably the best run was Trapeze Artist.
Yeah.
The best run for the future was a horse called Perrette out of the first.
Yeah.
He's a very, very nice horse. He's work in progress. He's maybe still a bit dumb and doesn't know where to put his legs. But he was confidently backed on Saturday off a midweek win. But there's more for him. Whether it's going to just press a button and he's going to be a spring prospect, maybe he will. You know, like he's held in high regard by everyone concerned with the horse, and just on paper there on Saturday, you saw he was pretty good. And the other one, obviously, I thought just a sneaky little go at Zenalicious next time. Mm.
Dano, what did you like?
I think Zenalicious is very close to a win, and that horse that you mentioned, Duff Perrette, is he the Carbine Club horse this year?
Could well be. Just
got
to teach
him. Or the one that ran on Wednesday, Dino. I think it's... Was it Cronui? No, it ran on Wednesday at Warwick Farm. It could as well.
The Sydney horses win it every year, so I just like looking at these races coming through.
Yeah, because he'd follow a similar path to a couple of Chris's that are already
coming through. And last year.
That started at Warwick Farm in a 1400 and went on to those sort of races.
So what was the other one from Wednesday?
It was a horse.
It was
in the Kermadec colours, and Kermadec made his debut in that
Chaotic.
Same race.
Yeah. Dino, okay. Kaonic, K-A-O-N-I-C,
right,
had its first start in a 1400 at Warwick Farm, got beat a length and a half, and actually run up the backside of the winner. The stable made it about the 50-metre mark.
I would have thought this horse is better credentialed, though, Perrette.
Oh, well, he's had
some of the Kermadec owners in Perrette, too.
Yeah.
Right, now 13-53-53 is the number. 13-53-53 will take your calls after 9:30. Looking south, Dino, I mentioned Bonhoeffer. He's one of those sires who he was a good galloper himself. He throws good horses, probably, I reckon, a bit underrated. And Bonds Away came out and fixed up Brave Smash, which would have dented a few hopes.
Put me straight out of the quaddie, I know that. he was good. Like, he was about 20 points out of the handicap on Saturday, Bonds Away. He'd won his last three, but Mildura and Seymour, and the horse he beat at Seymour couldn't win at Cranbourne through the week. There was nothing in the form to suggest, even though he'd been winning, that he'd go to this level, but he did on Saturday, and he beat Brave Smash fair and square, I thought.
What did you make of Brave Smash?
He's still carrying a bit of condition, and I think the one thing they've got up their sleeve is the blinkers. There's a belief that he's a lot better horse than what they've seen of him in blinkers, so they'll be produced from now on.
The social media talk with you get involved in all of that and you treat it with a grain of salt, but they all want to tell you he's more of a swooper and not he's rather than getting to the front a little bit too early.
Yeah, he got far enough off the pace the other day and had one for company. I'm sure he is, but he'll be. He's got to go up a lot of cogs come Everest Day, but he will improve fitness wise. Even though he's had now three runs, there's still more to come.
All right, now Harlem, the Hayes Tavern camp producers, Blake. He looked all right.
He looked really good. He's second prep in Australia. He was really good first up, and that was a fast race on Saturday, and big margins. He won by a good margin, and as I said, fast time. He's got 51 in the Caulfield Cup. He's put himself into contention, I reckon.
No doubt. That was very impressive, I thought. It was a good ride, but still.
It was a good ride. He won well. The mare that ran second, Samovair, is going well. Stampede probably didn't see it on the camera angles you would have seen, but the stewards' film showed it. About the 1600, Gallant came up outside him and got just laid straight all over him and just fired him up way too much. So his effort to run third was very good, Stampede. But he was just about into a good rhythm, and Gallant just ducked in sharply and just banged into him, and it fired him up.
Well, he's still a $13 chance in the Caulfield Cup market, Harlem. So he basically halved his price, or more than halved his price. After Saturday, but we had the previous. This is the situation with these markets now. It's you've got Humidor, Bonneval, Almandon with the top three in the Caulfield Cup, all from last week. Hartnell's there as well, and then the next two are the two horses from this week,
which is
Ginger Nuts and Harlem, both $13 chances.
And then we'll see Bonneval and Co. probably in the Underwood on Sunday, and it'll change again.
Yep.
Now, at this stage, Dan, looking towards the Caulfield Cup, where do you think the strongest form is coming from? Is it Victoria, New South, New Zealand, where?
Well, the New Zealand element, of course, with Ginger Nuts on Saturday. John Snow we've seen going okay in Melbourne over trips that haven't suited, so they're in the mix, and Bonneville started her campaign well, but I still think Humidor's the one with the best form. I mean, beating Hartnell by that margin, even if he wasn't ridden to advantage, that was a significant race last week, Duff.
No doubt about it. He looks very strong. Caulfield Cup's shaping up pretty, obviously, so it should into a good race. But I would suggest that Humidor's a logical favourite. Almandon, we keep forgetting he's still unbeaten, past 2200 in Victoria, and if he decides to run there, which is more than likely he will now, considering the new circumstances, I still think he'd have to be right in contention there.
What about your theory, Dino, with Humidor, a better Flemington horse?
Yeah, I agree. He's done that so far. Whether at a mile and a half it'll be different, and he races a little bit closer. He ran pretty well at the back end of a pretty tough prep when he ran in the BMW in Sydney. So, I'm certainly is a better Flemington horse, but I don't know if it's going to stop him in a mile and a half race.
Now, Dino, you keep a real good eye on the overseas horse, the internationals. There may be people thinking we might try and get a long shot double on or whatever, on the cup and the cups. Now, anything from overseas, Northern Hemisphere, that you think is going to really figure that could be coming?
Well, I think when we get the final group that get on the plane on Friday and arrive at Werribee on Saturday, that's a good point. And I always like the group that come out first, because that usually means having a run in Australia beforehand.
Yep.
So I'll be keeping a close eye on Lee Jordan and Racing Victoria's Twitter handles in the next few days to see which ones get on the plane. But we've mentioned in the show in recent weeks a horse called Wall of Fire. I'm hoping he's on that plane on Friday.
Why is that?
Because I think he's a very good stayer. Yeah. And didn't get him at the $201 Munns, but...
But first time you've missed out.
Oh, well, yeah, I suppose I was due. Is that what you're saying?
Well, he's been purchased by Australian Interest as
he has.
So yep. He's definitely coming here, and he's been But as Dean said, it's just a matter of what plane they get out here and what their plans. But I think their plans were always to have a start.
Yeah, he'll run it. He'll run in, if he got in the Caulfield Cup, yes. If not, the Geelong Cup, I think.
Now, last year, a mate of mine said, oh, I bought a share on a horse. I said, oh, yeah, what is it? It's running the Melbourne Cup. I think it's the first horse he'd ever been in. Heartbreak City.
Yep.
I said, there was only one way to go from here, mate, downhill. Yeah. He runs second in the Melbourne Cup first. Now, he's in a horse called Tiberian. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a good horse.
He looked impressive the other day in France.
Yep, yeah, he's going well. Darren Dance has been consistently buying the right sort of horses through Jack Aubrey and Dan Dino and, as you said, Heartbreak City last year. So he buys into the right ones. So for him and his team with Chris Blomley and co to identify it, he's a big watch runner.
This bloke couldn't talk for about 4 days after the Cup. He screamed his guts out. He went totally hoarse. You would, wouldn't you?
He'd have been just a bit player compared to the Irishmen that were involved there.
He was running barrier trial compared to them.
They were hard work.
They were Olympic standards. They were just brilliant. We'll take a break. Come back. Take your calls. 1353 53 1353 53. Give us a call right now. You can talk to Duff, Dino and Munns. And Punters Postmortem, 28 to 10, Sky Sports Radio.
You're listening to Punters Postmortem. Have your say. Call us on 1353 53 53, SMS 0419 767 272, or send us a tweet at Sky Sports Radio 1.
25 to 10 this week, chin wagging with John Maher, because the Epsom coming up. John playing Golden Sword with the Epsom, also on a Melbourne Cup, so it'll be good fun on Thursday. 1353 53 53, you can call now to talk to Duff, Ben, R. Munsey. And I think Tony might be with us.
No, not yet.
Okay, we'll have him shortly there. Just looking back to the Everest at this stage, what do you think of the lineup, boys?
Well, it's as good as we can get so far. We've got two slots to come, and there's a bit of to-ing and fro-ing. We've got Coolmore, so I don't know what their way of thinking is. And obviously Jade Sky Racing haven't selected their horse yet. They can sit on the fence now. There's a few more lead-ups to come and make a decision then. We've got some nice horses resuming, like In Her Time and Clearly Innocent, and maybe Speece, a forgotten horse there. Mm. There's
Terra Vista.
Terra Vista.
Munns, regard to the Everest, when the final field will come together, because there's no internationals, do you think the turnover will be through the roof because the punters will know this form inside out?
Well, Dino, looking at what they've done so far, and when you can consider, we just put the market up a few months ago on horses we thought could possibly come here. And it's been very, very good at the moment, the turnover here. And I can't see any reason why it won't be through the roof, as you said, because they know every single runner.
Well, I'm excited by it because I don't have to line up horses from other places.
No, the only thing you've got to line up is as per normal, is different form lines. But
yeah, but
they're the horses you've seen their last 50 runs.
And there's crossover with them, and yeah, I think it's fantastic.
Mm. All right. Tony's with us now. Morning, Tony.
Can I speak to Glenn and or Duff, please?
Yes.
Oh, Duff's
over here, Tony.
Pass on a message. There seems to be a plethora of female commentators these days, but in my eyes, one stands out. She is articulate, she is eloquent, and she's so natural. Lizzie Jelfs.
Superstar.
Yep. She's a champion.
Yeah, she's a lovely,
Glenn,
lovely lady.
Duff, give her a message from AA.
Yes, we'll do that.
I think she's brilliant.
No, she is
the winx of the female racing fraternity.
Well, she's looking to do a bit more, that's a little private joke. But she's very good. She'll be at the track in the morning for Sky there.
Just make sure you pass on the message. A horse that won on Saturday, Ace High, she seems to have that name. But for those historians, I don't know whether you realise this, but 60 years ago, in 1957, a horse called Tullock won the Sire's Produce Stakes in Melbourne. Mm. And the horse that ran second was a horse called Ace High.
Mm, there you go.
Very good effort to win at 64 years of age.
Yeah. Terrific. Good on you, Tony. All the best, mate.
You've been well placed.
Winx was allocated 64.5 for the Melbourne Cup.
No, that's what they would have given her. That's what they I think it was Max Presnell last.
Based on the ratings? Or?
Yeah. Right. I think Max Presnell asked Greg Carpenter what Winx would have gotten the Melbourne Cup, and he said 64.5.
Cool. Good on you, Tony. And there you go. Lizzie Jelf says the winks of the female racing fraternity. Well, that's the promo taken care of for next week. Steve joins us now. Morning, Steve.
Good morning, Thomas. How are you going?
Good. What can we do for you?
Ronnie, there is?
Yes, Steve.
G'day, Ron. Yep. You've got a mate next year there was dancing around when very good horse in Treviso artist went to the front, but I can tell him back in the 80s, I've seen bookmakers, when Kill Cobbler goes to the front at 160-1 to 33-1, dance around and cry at the same time. But anyway, that's another story to think about. But anyway, they were real bookmakers. But prior to the race run, I mean, I went for Chauffeur. I'm bitterly disappointed that it's 6 lengths behind that good horse, just the same. I went for Chauffeur. Minari did probably, to some, look too brilliant prior to the race for 1400. However, that's one of the reasons I went for Chauffeur. It's a good thing. However, that trapeze artist did possibly... It did donkey lick him in the Canberra race. Chauffeur coming back from Brisbane mightn't have been feeling that well from that on that particular day. But it did flog him. It did flog him. We all know Chauffeur's lead-up form was right in the mix in that race on Saturday.
Yeah, it was. And he didn't have much luck, Chauffeur. He got knocked down and got put out of the race early. I thought his effort was pretty good, to tell you the truth, considering he was a 25-1 chance or a 30-1 chance.
Yeah, but I think, Ron, we can forget about what odds would be 250-1. Sometimes the horse doesn't know about whether it's 6-4 favourite or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yep.
That's sometimes. But the thing about this, I'm disappointed. I normally put my hand out and collect when I've got a horse of what I thought, the ability of that one. And knowing the Minari, well, not knowing, but having a good idea, Minari was just too brilliant for that distance.
Yeah.
So, in other words, who have I got to beat? Well, okay, I did. I did save on trapeze artists, but not enough. But I'm so disappointed in Chauffeur because John Hawks, I just hope none of his family are touching that horse. You know, John Hawks is John Hawks, you know what I mean, don't you?
Yeah, they're a team. They're all great horsemen.
John's the star trainer who's had the star horses over the years in Australia. And I just hope that no one else is looking at this horse and touching it, and you know what I mean. It's not Wayne's World, is it? You know.
Good on you,
anyway,
Steve.
Hey, by the way, is he going to go to Melbourne? Do you think?
I would think he may. I don't know. I don't suppose it all revolves around how he pulls up and the next target.
Good on you, Steve. Have a great week, mate. 1353 53. We're taking your calls now. Mark, good morning.
Hey, go, mate. It's Mark. First time caller.
Yeah, Mark. Yep, we're here.
Yep. I just wanted to ask you guys, the question I've been asking myself for a lot of years. I got started, been interested in horse racing when I was about 6 years old, I suppose. And I used to watch Ken Howard and Clarence the Clocker of a Saturday morning do all the race reviews, and I'd sit there with me race and form and pick out all the winners. And I've been hooked ever since. And I was just wondering what got you guys started interested in horse racing, and what makes people get so emotional about the race horse at times?
Well, I was exactly the same as you, Mark. I used to be sat on the bed there and forced to watch Clarence the Clocker and
take notes.
Yeah, take notes, and the old man used to be watching them, and it's the way I was brought up. It was the way I was brought up.
It's strange because I was the only one in the house that was really interested.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes. Well, Saturday morning was the only time, was one part of my life where I wasn't really playing any sport of a Saturday morning for a while, and I had 7 brothers and sisters, and everybody was out playing sport, and my mum and dad were working, so I had the house to myself, which was very rare, and turned the TV on, and there was Clarence the Clocker, and I've been hooked ever since.
Yeah.
Started punting with the lunch money, did you, Mark?
Well, I didn't start punting till a bit later because I didn't have any money.
You had to build up a bank first.
You know, the spring racing carnival for me is the highlight of the sporting season here in Australia. There's so much sport going on over the 12 months. But I was just wondering, again, what made you guys get so interested in it? Is it more of a job, more than a job for you guys?
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. Well, I didn't have much hope because my grandfather was a jockey and my father was a jockey, so And you only had to look at me as a kid, and I knew I wasn't going to be a jockey. So I actually got into racing as a job to pay for my university fees, to go to the races and work for a bookie, and just graduated from there.
Yeah.
What about you, Dana?
I was born virtually onto a stud farm. My family bred had stood a few stallions, and that's how I started in around the horses, and then getting to know trainers by the time I was about 10 or 12 and working there at weekends.
Mm. Well, us little kiddies used to wake up to Clarence the Clocker and Ken, all the little kiddies in our day, where they wake up and they put the TV on and they see Andrew Bensley there. He's hardly Bob the Builder, but anyway, he's doing his thing.
And remember Ken Howe, lump them to a brick on. It was fantastic. Mark, great to reminisce, and have a terrific week, mate. Now, Chris joins us. Good morning, Chris.
Oh, morning. Thanks for taking the call.
What can we do
for
you?
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Oh, I was just going to ask, I know everyone talks perennially about the villain of the coming spring being Tom Melbourne, but I was wondering what you guys thought of Tosin Stardom. I think ran third last race. I backed him at about 35-1 for the Cox Plate. Any thoughts?
Is he coming for the Epsom Dino, do you know?
I'm not sure. I think there's a fair chance he might be, yeah. Either that or the... No, I think might be running the Rupert Clark on Sunday with blinkers on.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think we even have him in the...
Yeah, no. Rupert Clark in blinkers, that was the go.
What do you make of him, Dino?
Oh, he ran well the other day. That was... 1,400 weight for age. He goes back to a handicap. He just needs a win. Yeah, he's running well. He's... Wherever he is, he's right beside Blackheart Bart, so it's good form through the Futurity and the Memsie. He'll be a good chance on Sunday.
All right. What else, Chris? Anything else?
No, but I was listening to you guys just saying how you came to have a love for racing, but I was working for a bank about 20 years ago, and I'd always been a footy guy, and the guys were trying to get me to go, and the first time I went to the races was lucky enough to see Mahogany, and I was persuaded to go because I don't like the races, I want to go to the football, and one of my mates said, well, out of the following three things, gambling, looking at pretty girls, and drinking beer, which do you not like? So I was persuaded that was the way to go.
Man of my own heart. Good on you, Chris. There we go. Now, Andrew joins us. Look at the Melbourne Cup weights. Morning, Andrew.
Yeah, g'day, fellas.
Just,
two questions regarding the supposed Winx's weight in the Cox Plate. In the Melbourne Cup. Number one, do you think if she actually, Chris Waller said, "Oh look, we're keen to run in the Melbourne Cup." Do you think they'd actually give her 64.5?
No.
and number two, then how in God's name did Maccabi Diva, after two cups of Cox Plate, a Queen Elizabeth, Sydney Cup, Australia Cup, only get 58?
Well, I don't know.
Oh, it was a different weight scale.
An act of God, I think.
And then obviously the act of God for me, he would leave the sprinkles on as well. So, I just thought it was quite amusing to see what they said she would get, and they actually said they were going to go there. I think that'd be two different things.
It's a bit like Christmas. You ask for something, not necessarily what you get. Yeah.
The bigger question is always, how did she get beaten in the Caulfield Cup when she was 20-1?
Yes. Well, easy, because I was on her.
Yeah, you're not Robinson Crusoe there.
Thanks,
good on you, Andrew. Have a good week. Chris joins us now. We're going to have you out about Winx. Morning, Chris.
Good morning.
Yeah, what can we do for you?
Just had a question that might seem like a silly question, but why isn't Winx in the Everest?
Well, it's not the right time for her. She's already had a few runs back. It wouldn't be stupid if she was fresh and first up into a race like the Everest, but she's more of a middle distance type of mare. And once she's had a mile and even gets to 2,000 metres, it's very hard to come back in distance and have those fresh legs. But I wouldn't rule her out of running well first up in an Everest. There's no, whether that would happen next year, I wouldn't know. But you couldn't rule it out. Could be her swan song.
Well, plus, when the Everest was arrived on the scene as a race, they would have had to change all of their plans that they had in place for her aiming at the Cox Plate. So it's not just a matter of throwing everything out and then instead of all your plans aiming towards a 2,000 metre race on the 21st of October or whatever it is, to then aim at a 1,200 metre race on the 14th of October, albeit it's 6 months away.
Yep. Fair enough, Chris.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. as a punter, I love the horse, but I'm sick of watching it go around with $1.09 and beating all the nobody. Go in the $10 million race or pack up and go to Hong Kong or do something, because they're not punters' races. They're only races you can watch, because none of us can get on at $1.09, unless you've got a lazy bill or something. And just a second question, do you think Winks is better than Black Caviar?
Different horses. You know, Black Caviar is a champion sprinter, and Winks is a champion middle distance miler, mile 2,000 metre man. Different horses.
Yeah, I just think Black Caviar could definitely win the Cox Plate, so I rate Winks.
All right, good on you, Chris. Have a good week. John joins us now. Morning, John.
Morning, how are you?
Good, what can we do for you?
I'd just like to ask the boys, would they know if that's correct? Jamie DeBellin, did he write the 500 the one shot in Rose Hill, and has he done it three times?
Yeah, Jamie DeBellin rode Pablo's Pulse to win the Warwick Stakes at 500 to 1.
Who was supposed to ride it on that day?
I was on it that day. He got on it half an hour before the race. And I reckon he rode a filly called Antel, who I was supposed to ride as well. And it won at Canterbury at 500 to 1. He's at least ridden the two longest price winners. Whether there's a third one there, I'm not sure.
Yes, I think he rode three, my memory corrects.
Okay, you could well be right, John.
Yeah, what would you think is the best horse if Winks who's the second one in Australia now?
Good question. Any of you guys got an opinion on that, Dino?
What sort of trip?
What are you thinking? You know, we've got Chautauqua as a champion sprinter, and you know, are you thinking at the Cox Plate distance there, John, or are you just in general?
No. Who is the second best horse if Winks was not there?
If Winks wasn't
in the Cox Plate.
If Winks wasn't in the Cox Plate.
Yeah, all right. Who's the one would you back if Winks wasn't in the Cox Plate?
Well, I think the second best horse in Australia. I don't know if we're talking just Cox Plates or second best horse in Australia. On the last 12 months, we have to say Old Mandan, really. You know, or Chautauqua.
Yeah.
What about Deploy?
Well, he's the new kid on the block. We're working off two fast tracks with him where he's run time, but he's to come and say he's the second best horse in Australia next to Winks is a bold call. You're only going to look at the Everest.
You're comparing apples with oranges, too. You're comparing weight for age form and, you know, absolute top quality handicap form with a horse that, albeit it has broken two track records at its last start, but it's never really been tested against absolute top quality opposition.
Well, we'll know on the 14th.
Well, that's its opportunity to stamp itself as a higher grade horse than more people, than most people would think it is at the moment.
Well, because I was all over Egg-Tart. I'm all love of Egg-Tart, but now I've been deployed to do Egg-Tart. I'm all over Deploy now.
Well, you can take $11 about it in the Tab Everest. Plenty of people must have had the tip that it was going to get a slot, because it was $21 one moment, and by the end of the day, it was $11, and then that night, Chris Roots is writing articles about it definitely running in the Everest, and they came out the next day, and it was all signed, sealed, and delivered. So someone was on the bandwagon very early.
It's only a rule if you're not involved.
And what about this Saturday? You're back in Necktard or Happy Clapper?
Oh, I just think I want to just see the barrier draws and the makeup of that race there. They've both got terrific hopes. It's a typical, you know, a handicap mile at Randwick. You know, anything could happen there.
She looked a lot fitter Saturday.
She did. She's blossomed out a bit too. She looks good.
She's a top horse, no doubt about that.
Right, good on you, John. Appreciate your call.
Have a good day, boys. Have a good day.
Thanks, mate. Munns, you've got a very good memory. Jamie DeBellin, he won April 20, 1987, he rode Pablo's Pulse, scores 500-1. And then July 3rd, 82, was Antel, 500-1. They're the only two 500-1 winners in Australia.
Yeah, Peter Todd bet 1,000s, Pablo Pulse.
Yep.
Yeah.
Steve joins us. Morning, Steve.
Here you go, there, boys. How you going?
Good. How can we help you?
Well, just a couple of things. I just wanted to know, Emily Starr, where does she head in? Where is she going from here?
I suppose she'll go to the Bart Cummings or the Herbert Power, try and qualify for something in the next couple of weeks. She's flying. She just needs a bit of luck.
Yeah, she needs a barrier or something.
Well, needs not barrier one like Flemington, not barrier 14 like Caulfield. Somewhere in between would be nice, but gee, she's going well.
Yeah, just a bit of luck maybe. The other thing is, I was just going to say about old mate who was saying about Winx before, you know, complaining about watching her go round. You can't have one thing and say, you know, he rates her and he's a star, and then you're complaining about her going round.
Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, it's 30 seconds, a minute and a half of your life or something like that, and then you got the next race going round again. Pun on that one.
Exactly.
Yep. And one race out of eight at Rose Hill, come on.
Yeah.
Yep. It's nice to see champions in action, Steve.
That's it, mate. Cheers.
Good on you, mate. Now, Kurt joins us. Morning, Kurt. G'day, Kurt.
Hey, g'day, Cozzy. How are you?
I'm good, mate.
That's the shot. Hey, Cozzy, can I chuck in a request, mate, for the chinwag, if that's all right?
Not a worry.
Yeah, when are you available?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Jason Derulo.
We don't get much of the Vic stuff, you know, and Nifty Neville Wilson, mate. Love him and still do, mate.
He'd be good, Nifty. He's one of the finest athletes around. I regard Nifty a lot in the same, and Duff, you and Dino, your thoughts on this, a bit like a Jack Thompson, a very fit, mature athlete. He was just a superb jockey.
Yeah, great jockey. Yeah,
I know absolutely. This would be an understatement, but he'd have a couple of stories or two, Cozzy.
I reckon, from the days of milking the cows at Camperdown. He rode Citizen, yeah.
Oh, sweet, mate. Hey, Dino. Yeah.
Yes, Kurt.
Mate, just to get off the grand horses, because, you know...
Let's go to Bird Tower.
Let's go off the beaten track. What have you found?
I found one that's winning straight away, Dino, if it's obviously in the same sort of race. Yeah. Magellan. What do you reckon with the Maloney camp?
No, it needed to win on Wednesday at about the 12-1 for me, Kurt.
No, I know, Dean. I was on, mate.
Oh, gee, that was a hard watch. Anyway, it should have won.
Did you figure out he was going to have a good run? Did he try well or something?
Yeah, he tried well, and he came through some good races last time in. So he was well placed, and just the run nearly came, and he just had to stop for a couple of strides, and he just knew that it wasn't going to quite get there.
Obviously not an each-way punter, Dino.
Oh, I was, but I'd rather the $12 the win than the $4 a place, Kurt.
My word. Dino, can I just ask you about one horse, a bit lower scale, but I liked its run, and it's, you know, something out of the ordinary. Glam Guru the other week at Morpheville.
It was a huge win. Yeah, it was a huge win. It'll come over and win something. Liam McDonald brings the right horses over. Yeah. I thought...
It's not being sold to honkers, is it? Because I heard that around the traps.
No, I don't know about that. But there was a horse in the race from the Darren Weir stable. I thought I had a good hope in that race called Saffront.
The thing or something.
Saffront. And Glam Guru's affiliate won't be going to Hong Kong. And it toweled it up. We saw Glam Guru over here last time in, and she just didn't quite get it right on the day down the straight. But she'll win something pretty good over here over spring. And
is she chucked in the mix for anything like, you know, coming up down there?
Oh, well, Leon's won the 1,000 guineas a couple of times. Mm. I wouldn't be surprised if she bobbed up in something like that. Yeah. She's pretty good.
All right. And Munns?
Curtie, I'm just looking up what price Glam Guru is in the 1,000 guineas. There it is there, a $34 chance.
Yeah, it's,
mate, when you put in the Vic Derby up, brother?
Tomorrow?
When the
entries close
noms
tomorrow.
Come out.
Yeah, 26th.
Yeah. We can't put them up. Yeah.
Weather with you, boys.
Good on you, Kurt.
See you, Coz.
See you, mate.
Exciting time for you, Dino, coming up. Friday night racing every week.
Yeah, I love the night races. It's good. And then from November, the Thursday nights kick in as well. So that's even better.
Yeah. Just right. What you need, isn't it?
Yeah.
Squeezing a quick one here from Dave. Morning, Dave.
Morning.
What can we do for you?
I just wanted to chat about the Everest.
Yep.
Yeah, so, look, I want to congratulate the publicity team behind it because I think the whole thing's a bit of a myth, really. I think you could run the race for $500,000 and get the same field.
Wouldn't get the publicity they've got.
It wouldn't generate what it's generating. You know, we need something to racing to attract new people into racing, and I think it's great. It's costing racing nothing.
I just think the sprinters are a pretty rich bunch at the moment. I mean, a different horse won just about every sprint under 1,200 last season, and that either means great depth or, just an average lot.
Dave, one of the other issues too, I suppose, is when you look at our sprinters, they're probably as good as, if not better than most of the overseas ones. We proved that when we take them over.
And been often underpaid. I mean, Black Caviar win for 25 wins about $4 million or something.
Mm.
And Winx for 20-odd wins is up to, what, 13 30, million?
Yeah.
Mm. I agree, but I just think, you know, the sprinters are not the bunch we would have had 5-6 years ago when we were having success overseas. know Chautauqua went over to Hong Kong, won over there, but all he beat was Hong Kong sprinters, and the format of that hasn't been, fantastic.
Good on you, Dave.
Entirely your opinion.
Yeah, appreciate your thoughts, mate.
I don't know whether a $500,000 race should be making the nightly news on the ABC, Channel 10, Channel 9, Channel 7, everywhere else.
And south of the border, too.
Yeah, it's superseded the Spring Carnival to an extent here.
Mm. They'll be happy when it's over.
apart from the fact we've got two slots to go in the Everest, the most interesting part of the Everest will be the week leading into it. Because there's got to be something completely left field that's going to happen to promote the Everest in the week leading up to the race.
Sherpas everywhere.
A minute to 10. Let's get the black bookers. First of all, Munns, what have you black booked?
That horse from Warwick Farm, Sean Kaonic.
Kaonic. Okay, Deno?
Last race on Saturday, Petition. Just looked underdone, loomed up to win. She'll be better for that run. She'll win next start. Petition.
Okay, Duff, what's your black booker?
Yeah, forecast earlier, Perrette, and just to keep an eye on Xenolicious.
Yeah, I like Xenolicious too, man. Looked a bit like me on Saturday.
No, it didn't look that big.
Okay, good on you. Guys, good to catch up with you. Have a great week.
Good on you, Cozzy.
Thanks a lot. 10 o'clock, Sky Sports Radio.